When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma. And we've both been trying for a baby for a really long time. But despite that, neither of us is currently pregnant. Everyone,
welcome to episode 11.
Yep, we're both in bad moods.
Oh,
because of one stupid royal lady.
Oh god, the Markle debacle.
So Meghan Markle has chosen to announce her pregnancy on Baby Loss Awareness Day.
Yeah, that's tactful, isn't it?
Very tactful. Yeah. She was my fave.
I was a fan as well. To be fair, there's a number of things that have caught my eye about this.
Oh yeah.
Well, I read that she told her family, including the Queen, on the morning of Eugenie's wedding.
I know.
Or Eugenie, sorry.
Oh yeah, Eugenie.
Eugenie's wedding. Eugenie. Which I just think is a bit mean on your cousin's wedding day.
That, I mean, that's like classic bitch behaviour.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched The Windsors?
Yes.
It's really funny.
Yes.
Her character on that is amazing. If you haven't watched it and you're feeling bitchy about this, like, just go and watch it. It's really great.
Oh, yeah. Mixed feelings, really. Because I originally was I felt a bit sorry for her.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, there's so much pressure on her to get pregnant. That must be awful. So obviously I was like, oh, I'm glad that it's happened for her, that she doesn't have to go through the pain. But,
yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but they got married like 5 minutes ago. Mm. They're now pregnant. What are the rest of us supposed to do with that?
I don't know. Do you think it was like, do you think it was like military precision?
Yeah.
Like a fertility crew swooped upon their wedding chamber and gave her tips. And, you know, has it been orchestrated by the family?
Now, Harry, now.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh. So we're also recording on, as we mentioned, Baby Loss Awareness Day. I've seen a lot of stuff on social media about that.
Yeah.
It's such a big issue. We should do a show on just that.
We should, because I think for us, if you haven't experienced it yourself, you often feel ill-equipped to talk about it, I think. Mm-hmm. But it is important to talk about, and it's good that people are sharing their stories.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it's like, so.
And it's been good to see a load of stuff in the mainstream media about it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Always good.
Yeah. Absolutely. So if anybody has any stories they want to share with us, give us a shout. You know, this stuff is really important to talk about. And if you don't feel you can talk about it, you know, anonymously is fine too.
Absolutely.
In other news, this is the stressisode.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
People going through infertility are told so many freaking times to just relax, stop stressing, calm down. It'll happen when it happens. There's a plan for you. So we have addressed the issue of stress here. So we haven't got an interviewee other than Professor Tim.
Yes. Professor Tim Child, Medical Director at Oxford Fertility. And I had a slightly longer chat than usual with him about mm-hmm. stress.
I think it's going to make you all feel better.
Yeah, I hope so. It definitely made me feel better.
But we also talked a little bit about what we do to kind of not get stressed.
Yeah.
And we had quite a bad week. Well, I had quite a bad week.
I mean, I wasn't dealing with stress particularly well, so no. Full disclosure on that.
Yeah, but it's a huge issue that we haven't properly covered yet. So
yes.
And we will cover a million more times.
Oh, definitely. So, yeah, I hope you enjoy that.
Yeah. And also, we were thinking, so some people, when I was talking about using pessaries, sent me a handy little hint to prevent the grossness.
Yeah.
Anybody who's used them will know what the grossness is. And if you haven't used them, I'll let you discover that one.
Oh my God, I don't know what the grossness is.
So basically, they said, put it up your ass.
They did. They said up the bum.
I can't vouch for the medical efficacy of that.
Well, I think it's, you've got both options, right?
I don't know.
I think
know.
They say, I think they give it, yeah, you can do either. I just think most people probably err on the side of vag.
We're used to sticking things up our vag.
Exactly.
Not up our arses so much. Sorry to be gross, everyone. No. I'm sorry if it's a Tuesday morning and you're listening to this over your cup of coffee. But that got us thinking, like, has anybody else got some cool, like, IVF tips?
Yeah.
Or, like, TTC tips, really?
Yeah.
Like, cool little hacks.
Yeah, because I'm doing my first round in January.
Yes, you are.
So all tips welcome.
And I'm going to do another medicated.
Even if they're bum related.
Yeah. And I'm going to do another medicated FET next month or whenever my period comes. Might be never. So, you know, anybody who's got any tips for patches and things like that, give me a shout.
Yeah, fantastic.
Cool. And in the meantime, enjoy the episode.
Yes.
Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And please rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts, because that helps other people to find it. And we like reading the reviews.
Yes, we do. It's
and and to the person who said that they want to be our friend, give me a shout. Like, yeah. We'll hang out anytime you want. Otherwise, follow us on social media, Instagram.
At Big Fat Negative.
Facebook.
Big Fat Negative.
Twitter.
Big Fat Negative.
Email.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com.
And check out our half-assed website.
Yeah, you can do. Yeah, we need to fix that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to give that some love soon.
Yeah, yeah, we will. But it's BigFatNegative.com.
It is. Mm-hmm. Website love.
Cool.
Great.
Is that all of it?
I think that's it, guys.
Sweet. Have a great week.
Yeah. Speak to you soon.
Bye. Bye. Gabs, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. It's the weekend. We're recording on the weekend.
It is the weekend. It's sunny.
It's sunny.
I know.
Yesterday was horrible.
Yesterday was awful.
We usually record on a Monday night and it's a little bit hurried.
This is so leisurely.
The lads are at the pub.
Yep.
We're
sipping water.
We're sipping. It's delicious water.
Oh yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had quite an interesting week.
So
jam-packed.
You've been to the clinic?
I have been to the clinic, yeah.
Ooh.
So took myself off to the clinic and went in to the doctors and started... Well, I had emailed him to talk about my diagnosis of luteal phase defect.
Self-diagnosis.
Self-diagnosis I had. And so we started talking about that and he kind of gave me a bit of a short shrift, to be honest. He was like, well, okay, I'll start by saying I got to the end of the appointment and if I'm completely honest, I wasn't really sure about what had just happened.
Classic.
I went in and I was totally bamboozled. I don't know if he talks really quickly or not clearly enough, or I was trying to follow, but afterwards I was like, oh, I just really don't know if I quite got most of that.
Did you record it?
Yeah. So I went in and he started talking and I got absolutely bamboozled and forgot to start recording and then remembered. So I said, I'm just going to take some notes. If that's all right. And pulled it out and started recording. And I posted on Instagram that I was going to record.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends got in touch, who's a doctor.
Yeah.
Hi, Jenny, if you're listening.
Hi, Jenny.
and she was like, I hope you... Did you ask first? Because, you know, as a doctor, I think it would kind of freak us out if you didn't ask and you started recording. And I was like, God, that's a good point. So what I would say is... I told a couple of people on Instagram that I did ask, purely because I was like, oh God, I need people to ask, because now I feel bad that I've told people to record.
Yeah.
I haven't given them the information that they need to ask first. So apologies to those people. I didn't properly ask, I suppose. I asked if I could take notes. I didn't tell. Yeah. I didn't really clearly say I was going to start recording and then ask.
But presumably he saw you.
Yeah, he saw me do it. But I felt bad afterwards. So I was like, you know what? I should have said. It's courteous, and it's good to have a good relationship with our doctors, isn't it?
It is.
You know?
It is.
I don't want them to fuck us over.
I guess because we're journalists, we're just used to like whipping out a dictaphone and being like, right,
exactly,
speak for me, dance monkey.
Exactly. So my advice to anyone out there who's going in for a consultation is do ask first, but record, because it's really useful.
Yeah.
But I've listened to it 3 or 4 times now and I still am not 100% what he was talking about and why. But I do have some, I think, takeaway points I've got. So he was basically like, luteal phase defect is hard to diagnose.
Okay.
And I think he was saying that because it's hard to know exactly when you're ovulating. And even ovulation tests that you do at home can be pretty hit or miss, he was saying.
Right.
And so for him to properly diagnose whether I had it, I would have to go in and have a scan, you know, around that time every day, I don't know, just to work out when the ovulation had happened exactly and therefore how long my luteal phase is. And his second point, but he was like, we could treat it. And he started talking about ovulation induction as treatment.
Okay.
So stuff like Clomid.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really understand why that would treat luteal phase defect.
And he didn't really explain.
No, and this is where I got a bit confused. And I think when he threw in the word Clomid, I was like, what? That's not for me.
I do ovulate.
Yeah, so he kind of went on saying all these things, and at the end of it I was like, but he said like, you know, your the length of your cycles is normal. He said, I'm not worried about that. I think you're fine. I think he said that it can vary from month to month. So there is a chance that you had a short luteal phase, but it's probably a one-off.
Okay.
And to be fair, it was the only time I had tracked my ovulation and noticed it. So I was kind of like, you know what? Okay, I'm not going to ask you any more about these confusing things that you're suggesting I may or may not do. I'm going to go with, let's just keep going.
Okay.
And then, so then I was like, but I'd like to book in for IVF. I think we're ready. This is our third month.
Nothing's happened.
Nothing's happened. I haven't got my period yet, so I mean, who knows? But I'm not in the hope zone.
Okay.
Definitely not. So we're booked in from January.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
To my mind, I probably could have started it sooner, but January felt like a good time to me because it's like New Year.
Yeah, renewed sense of optimism.
Exactly. Exactly.
2019 will be in one big long hope zone.
Exactly, that's the one. So we are going to go in at the end of November and have some tests, because I think they test you for HIV, hepatitis, all of these things, make sure you're all good. Mm-hmm. And then go and see a nurse the next month.
Okay.
So she can give us our meds.
Yay.
And give us a little lesson.
Ah.
Sounds like fun.
I can give you a lesson.
Oh, I bet you can. You've got hot tips.
Well, you just grab your fat and stick it in.
Grab your fat.
You don't have very much fat, mate.
I do have fat.
You need to get a bit more fat.
I've got plenty of fat. Where's your favourite fat place to
grab? Well, I did it all in my stomach.
Yeah, I think that would be my choice. Oh, but maybe your bum. But you can't do your bum yourself, surely.
Well, so some of my friends who've had C-sections have done their own injections and have done it in their bum.
Mm.
And I think there are some injections that are better in your bum. It's just basically a fatty deposit.
Yeah.
But for me, I just did it all in the stomach. I did end up with some glorious bruises. Like,
yeah.
Really great.
I'm not a crop top wearer.
No.
So that is kind of okay.
I mean, you definitely wouldn't be a crop top wearer when you're doing stims because you end up with a big belly.
Or you just do it. And just be like, hey world, I'm doing IVF. Yeah, I've got a bruised tummy and it's a bit flabby. Don't care.
You just let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Like, that would be amazing. I could barely walk by the end of it.
Yeah.
I was just waddling like a duck.
No, I'll be wearing oversized jumpers and lots of dresses from COS.
I don't think I wore jeans for 3 months.
I mean,
it's so cute.
I'm a fan of a shapeless sack anyway.
Yeah, I mean.
So I think.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. So yeah, that's exciting news.
That is exciting. Do you feel good?
Yeah, I do actually.
Cool.
I do feel quite good.
Optimistic?
No, I think I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
I you know, I don't expect it to work first time round. Mm-hmm. So I think, but I'm looking forward to kind of getting it started. I know that's probably silly because it's going to be not very pleasant, but
I think it gets starting stems with such a kind of optimistic time for me. It'd be good.
Yeah, do it. I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that might scupper that is that we're booked in to see our friend Jonathan Ramsay.
Oh, from last week.
Yeah.
Cool.
We did the interview and then I was pondering and I think I've spoken about it a few times that I wanted to see a urologist. So I just thought I'd bite the bullet and email them. And so we're booked in first week of November.
Uh-huh.
Which is, guys, it's going to be very expensive. I'm a bit like, oh, but I think because it's like a consultation fee and then you have to pay for all of the tests afterwards, whatever they are. And because it's private, I think it's going to be very toppy. but my thinking is if we're going to have one shot at this on the NHS for free, and that's very, I'm very grateful for that. I want to make sure that we're in the best possible shape. So if Jonathan Ramsay can come up with any treatments or next steps for my husband that will improve his sperm so that our one shot has a better chance of working, then I'm just gonna do it. And it might mean it gets pushed back, but I'm kind of all right with that as well.
Well, I, you know, when we booked him, we put a little thing on our Instagram, didn't we, like maybe a few days before we interviewed him, saying, does anybody have any questions for the urologist we're going to see? And I got about 10 messages from different people being like, oh, is it Jonathan Ramsay?
Yeah.
So I feel like he probably is the best in the business.
I think so. I think it's worth paying for.
Yeah.
I hope so. That's what I'm telling myself anyway.
Mm.
And we didn't get tickets for Glastonbury.
Oh.
So I'm like, we'll just use the Glastonbury money to go and see a urologist.
Yeah.
Husband does not agree that that is an equal transfer of funds. What, so I get to go and get my knackers prodded instead of going to Glastonbury?
I don't know, like people have a wank at Glastonbury. Just drag him through some mud and give him some warm cider.
In a tent when he's doing his sample. Yeah. Give him a cold, warm cider.
A warm cider.
No, I won't be doing that, he won't be drinking.
And some like some gone off chicken.
Oh God. Yeah. <You're>
fine. And play a band, like just have the sound of a band whose members should by now really be dead but aren't.
Yeah.
Just wafting.
Exactly.
Over the background.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And someone getting sick.
Yeah.
Get the cats to just do a couple of bombs on the other side of his tent. Yeah. Anyway, so he's not delighted, but that's okay. I think it's going to be good. It's good. I'm glad that we're doing that. And then what else has been going on? Oh, I wrote a piece about sex.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah. So we should be clear that when we're recording like 2 weeks in advance, aren't we?
Yeah.
So today is Sunday. On Tuesday, the Jonathan Ramsay episode will come out.
Yes.
So it's a week and a bit in advance.
Yeah.
So
you're travelling back in the past.
Yeah.
Listening to us right now.
So that piece came out this week.
Yeah, it did, which is really cool. It's for another podcast called The Hotbed Collective, which is all about sex. Yeah, women talking about sex. So I thought I'd chime in with my experiences of trying for a baby.
It's a sexy time.
It is a sexy time.
Yeah.
So that was quite fun, actually. I quite enjoyed that. I've never written about sex before, I have to say. That's a first, apart from in my diary as a 15-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, not 15.
No.
17 plus.
25.
Not that if you did write about sex when you're 15, that'd be a problem. I'm not judging.
Or just, indeed, 25.
A late bloomer.
Yeah. Late.
The other thing I noticed this week, which is interesting, potentially interesting, sorry to everyone who doesn't enjoy this, but cervical mucus, right?
Oh, it's my favourite subject
about this
right now.
For a little bit.
Sometimes I raise it with nurses and they cringe and I'm like, listen to me.
Man, I used to recoil when my friend was trying for a baby last year, she kept saying to me, talking to me about cervical mucus.
Was that me? Am I your friend?
No, it was my friend Claire. Hi Claire, if you're listening. And I just kept being like, ugh, every time she said it, and I couldn't bring myself to say it myself. But now I am talking about it in public.
I was in the middle of a scan this week and we'll talk more about that later, but then I was like talking to the nurse about my cervical mucus. I was like, I know I haven't ovulated because my mucus isn't right. And she was like, oh yeah, that's how they used to do it, isn't it? I was like, no, that's how we do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's science.
Yeah.
That's how it, you know.
She was like, have you found out about this from the internet? And I was like,
oh, she didn't say she that, did she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no. Anyway, carry on.
I bet my doctor went away being like, oh, she's read about luteal phase defects on the bloody internet.
Well, look, if we had the direct line of our fertility doctors, then yeah, we'd phone them, but we exactly can't. So
I wouldn't be tapping in bloody Google field,
yeah,
looking for answers.
Exactly.
In all the wrong places. Mm. But yeah, so I, obviously cervical mucus is a thing.
Yeah.
And, but I've never really had known the difference between all of the different cervical
mucus.
Yeah, exactly. Because when you put it in the app's giving you like four different options. Yeah. And I'm like, I have no idea which one I'm talking about.
You just sat there and frowned at your pants and be like, yeah, I don't know.
What is that? I don't get it. What's the difference between creamy and egg-like? You know, man. But anyway, I've cracked it.
I literally cracked the egg white, my mucus on. Mate, well done, you solved the mystery.
I know, because I don't want to even say it, but it's been a bit creamy.
Oh, nice.
And then on Saturday I noticed it and was like, oh yeah, yeah, that's different. So then I googled it, and then I read an article that actually goes through like in detail all the different types and when.
Oh.
And I was like, oh yeah, it's a bit like that then. It's a bit like that at that point.
That's really gross.
So now I can go into my app and be like,
creamy.
We should greet each other, actually, on the podcast with our app inclusions for that day. So I'd be like...
creamy, sex twice.
Day 28, creamy, bit moody, sore breasts, exercise, no.
Sex, no.
No. What's yours?
What would it be today? I didn't do an ovulation test today, actually.
Didn't?
No, because I know, because creamy.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I've kind of given up on it a bit. I just can't.
Okay.
I know what's happening. I know why stuff happens and when stuff happens. So I'm kind of tracking it in my head. Like, I put down spotting if that happens. And I put down when I get a positive test and when I get, like, a positive ovulation test. I've never had a positive pregnancy test. But, and I put down, like, when my period starts.
Yeah.
But that's it.
I mean, I go through phases.
Yeah.
I go through phases of putting everything in. But all the sex in.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably should put that in. It doesn't really make a difference for me.
No, it's not. It's a bit more crucial for me.
Although it does make a difference when John's like, we haven't had sex for ages.
You could be like, look. We had sex 3 weeks ago. Be satisfied.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's always like, we haven't had sex for 6 months. And I'm like, we had sex last month. Shut up.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Love anyway, you, babe. Love you.
Well, that's my week in a nutshell.
Cool.
Emma, how's your week been?
It's another fucking rollercoaster ride of emotions, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, started out the week, what did I do? I had a scan on Monday. Oh my God, I've had 3 scans this week. I've just realised.
Every time I speak to you, like, I'm just off for another scan.
Yeah. I had a scan on Monday. Bearing in mind, I'm trying to do a natural transfer cycle.
Yes.
She was like, oh, it's looking a bit thin. Like, come back on Thursday. Went back on Thursday. Then she was like, well, I can see a leading follicle now. And, you know, your lining is probably a bit thin, but, you know, it's on the way.
Hmm.
And I was like, cool. Headed off, went back to work in quite a good mood.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, though, I had taken John to hospital. My husband had something wrong with him, and I had to be the one sitting in the waiting room.
Wow.
It was weird.
Oh, my God.
So, A, we did it in a really posh hospital, because we do actually have medical insurance, but obviously that doesn't cover fertility. So, it was this really posh hospital, and all the staff were so nice and polite, and they were like, will you come with me? And they, like, greet you, and...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they offer you tea and coffee, and it was just amazing.
That sounds great.
It was, like... Oh, so swank. And then he had to go off and he had I'll tell you, everybody should know, he had a gastroscopy, which is a camera down into his stomach.
Oh, poor John.
I know, he's had tummy problems. And it was just so weird because I was there just sitting waiting for him. That he was carted off he went, and then he came back like in
you
a
had
bed
to look after him.
Yeah, and he had like a tube up his nose, and he had a heart monitor, and he had an IV. And he was like, IVs really hurt. And I was like, no shit, mate. Like, the number of bloody IVs I've had fitted in the last few years. So, yeah, it was just a really bizarre experience.
Yeah.
And like he
role reversal.
Yeah. He wasn't under general anaesthetic, but he was sedated. And it...
Did he say anything silly?
No, he didn't. He was just like, it's weird. It's well weird. But he, like, couldn't remember much. It really affected his memory. So the doctor came and I had to, like, remember everything that he said.
Wow.
It was just an odd experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it's good for you to do a bit of both sides.
Yeah, it was. And he was, like, he's so funny because he's quite steely. Like, he's not... He doesn't really express... any emotions in he's not a demonstrative person.
No.
And I could tell he was a little bit nervous and he was just a bit like just a bit like shruggy and
vulnerable.
Yeah. It's quite sweet.
Did you abuse your power?
No, I didn't.
Good.
I was, but then he did cook for us in the evening because I kept being like, tell me what to do, because he's the chef in our house.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, oh, just bloody do it. And I was like, I don't know if you should be operating a hob, but okay, I'll just sit here.
Now you've been in hospital, John, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm like when I get hungry.
So, yeah.
So that was Thursday.
That was Wednesday, and then Thursday was a scan. Yeah. And then on Saturday, we went for another scan. It was shit. So... basically, having found a leading follicle on Thursday, the different nurse was then like, oh, I can't see a leading follicle.
What?
And I was like, what? There was one there before. And she was like, oh, yeah, it just looks quite grainy. And I was like, I don't even know what that means.
No,
like, what?
I don't know.
So, and she was like, your lining's gone from, well, your lining's 4.5 millimetres. And I'm sure it was 5.5 before. So I was like, this is really weird.
Okay.
And then I just...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sobbed loads because she was like, yeah, we probably just have to cancel this cycle. Mm. And so I cried loads and was like, is there a consultant in today? And she was like, yeah, she's in surgery. And then I just cried more.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'll just go and see if I can get her. And I was like,
well done,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, please do. So then the consultant came in and was like, well, it looks to me like the your best response to any cycle so far has been a medicated cycle that we did 1 year ago almost. And I was like, yeah, true. But then we did another medicated cycle a couple of months ago and that didn't work at all. So, you know, what are we going to do? And there was a lot of talk about, like, essentially she booked me into her clinic on Thursday during her lunch hour, which is quite nice of her. And there was a lot of talk about, like, do we convert this cycle to a medicated cycle? But she was like, it looks like your lining isn't growing at all, so I don't think that's going to work.
Right.
So maybe we just do a medicated cycle, but without the bucerolin, which is the stuff that suppresses your ovaries, next month.
Okay.
And I was just like, I wasn't really sure like what we decided, but it felt like the cycle had been cancelled. So I just chose to understand that the cycle had been cancelled. And then later that day, they did my bloods. And I got a phone call being like, hi, we've done your bloods. It looks like you haven't ovulated this month. And I was like, well, we're on day 15. Like, give it a fucking chance.
I ovulate later than that.
Well, I ovulated day 18 last time. Yeah. So, and so she was like, yeah, so we've ordered you loads of drugs and you can start taking the hormones on the first day of your period. And I was like, hang on, I thought we were going to convert this cycle. And she was like, oh, no, no, no. And I was like, what? And then I just cried absolutely loads and felt really sad and just spent the whole... I ate a lot of carbs because I'd been banning myself from that and drank a lot of red wine, although it was still organic.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Because I kind of... There was a little voice in my head that was like, we're still going to try with this. But, like, I just feel like it's cancelled as far as I'm concerned. But... It's just like, where is the information? Why did two nurses... Why was there suddenly a leading follicle and then there suddenly wasn't?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what's going on and why they make these very snap decisions.
Yeah.
Like, I've had in the past... So last time we tried to do a natural cycle, I was, like, on day 11 or something. I was on the brink of ovulating. And then I ended, and then my whole body went into basically shutdown. And then I ovulated on day 32, or I got my surge on day 32, according to the kits, the ovulation predictor tests. And then I was like, oh, I wish I'd had a scan then to see like what the quality of my lining was like. And does my body just go into like weird hiatus for a few days? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea. I mean,
did they say anything about what you could do to encourage your lining to build up?
No, There's absolutely nothing.
Next steps on that.
No, one. And so then I put a post on Instagram being like, well, it was like a picture of a brick wall because it was what I'm banging my head against. And I got something like 50 comments from this incredible Instagram community that I love and that have just made all the difference to me. And it was advising. It was people advising everything from drinking a pint of milk every day to Viagra.
Wow.
To like just so many ideas and things that I can now take to the doctor and be like, right, I've got a list of things.
Mm.
Please like tell me what you think of each of these things. Mm. And perhaps we can get this cycle back on track. Perhaps we can convert to a medicated one. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's cancelled. I think it's cancelled. I was sure it was cancelled last night.
Yeah. Are you able to call them on Monday and see if they can give you another scan?
I'm not. I think I'll wait till Thursday because I don't think I'm going to have a surge before then.
Okay.
And I don't think, even if I did have a surge, I don't think my lining would be thick enough. But I am, I don't know, maybe if I get a surge, I'm going to be like, can I come in for a scan?
So you're going to be testing every day to see?
Yeah, I am going to keep testing.
Yeah.
I just feel like maybe today I had this change of heart, was like, it's not over till the fat lady sings. And also, I just feel like estrogen is not, like, artificial estrogen is not, does not work for me. Like, I'm scared that my body hates it.
Well, can you, so you're going in on Thursday, have you said all of this to the doctor?
I'm going to. I've got it written down in my questions that I'm going to ask her. Because I feel like, I don't know, I just, maybe if I'm feeling strong when we go in, I'll be like, no, I want the next one to, I want to try and do a natural cycle again next month.
Yeah.
Because I had a period of such regular cycles and they stop being regular every time I try and put hormones in me.
Mm.
So maybe we just keep trying.
Yeah.
Maybe we try for like 6 months on the trot.
Yeah, well, I'd speak to the doctor and just explain the situation in full. Tell her how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Surely.
It's just really like, these hormones are so hard. Bless you.
Thank you.
But
also, is that not going to... So the hard thing has also been this kind of hope cycle as well.
Yeah.
So if you're almost getting to a transfer and not getting there. You've had that how many months in a row now?
3 months. So, well, it's kind of 2 months in the
Yeah, there was 2 months in one of those. But that can't be good.
It's Yeah, I mean, it's exactly like when you're trying for a baby, really, isn't it? It's the exact same hope zone. Although now you've got like a team of nurses around you being like, you're lining shit. And you're like, so, yeah, and I just want to say again to all those people who commented on that Instagram post, like, it really lifted me up. And if anybody out there is having a bad time and isn't part of this Instagram community, like, honestly, it can change everything. It can make you feel so much better. It can make you feel more determined. Also, ladies, like, you guys are comfortable with an F-bomb. Like, I've been worrying that I swear too much on this podcast, but fucking hell. There are some great swearers out there, and I admire every single one of you. Well done.
Thank you all for your contribution to the English language.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I loved every single one of them. So thank you guys. Like, you're amazing. We are absolutely amazing. And I love the fact that we, through this podcast, have kind of created a bit of a dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, we get loads of emails, we get loads of messages, we try and reply to every single one of them. I think we do reply to every single one of them.
Yeah, we do.
So keep them coming, basically.
Yeah. And support each other.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my message.
Oh.
If you're going through shit, get out there, talk to people. If it's, even if it's not your, like, close friends, if you don't feel like you can talk to your family, talk to these random strangers. They're really nice.
They're really great. Yeah. They really are. Yeah. Oh, look at you, you're smiling.
I am.
It didn't seem like you were going to smile yesterday. No. I'm so pleased you're back at smiling. And it's sunny. Hey, it's great.
All right, let's go to the pub.
Bye.
So now it's time for Old Wives Tales.
Fact or fiction.
Yeah.
And this week we tackled a kind of divisive issue.
It is a divisive issue.
Yeah.
We're talking about stress, guys.
Yeah.
So obviously quite a big deal in our community because everyone's forever being told to relax.
Yeah.
So we should start by saying not being stressed is not going to help you get pregnant. And being stressed is not stopping you from getting pregnant.
Yeah, I think that's, Gordon Mullins said it, didn't he? He was like, being stressed isn't stopping you from getting pregnant, but it's not helping. So
yeah.
That's the kind of key. And actually, being stressed isn't fun.
It's not fun. And I just, like, anxiety, like, almost every woman I know has anxiety, like, issues with anxiety.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, like, panic attacks. I'm talking about that feeling where it all gets a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people with kids, people without kids, people with high-powered jobs, people with no jobs, all get this anxiety. And it really is a thing for our generation as well, like,
yeah,
hugely.
I'd definitely say so. I've been listening to a podcast all about the kind of basic theory of cognitive behavioural therapy. And he was talking through, like, the kind of the triggers and the kind of the way that your brain works when you start, like, catastrophizing or something like that. And it's so many things that I recognized in myself that I just didn't really ever think I had a problem with.
It's really, the brain stuff is really interesting. There's a book called Rewiring Your Anxious Brain.
Ooh.
And I listened to the first half of it because the second half of it is exercises and I didn't care about those. But the first half is, like, how your brain works and why, like, your brain reacts to things.
Yeah.
Like it does, and why you have panic attacks.
Oh,
like,
wow.
What causes that?
Mm.
And one of the key messages is, if somebody's really anxious, telling them to calm down will not work.
Well, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Quite.
Yeah.
The evidence we've been waiting for.
Yeah. I keep reminding my husband of that when he goes, chill out, Emma.
Chill out.
Doesn't work. He still does it.
Yeah. We all need to relax.
You know, before we get on to Professor Tim,
yes,
we thought we'd just talk about a little bit about what we do to chill out and, you know, to just try and shut up that little voice in our brains.
Yeah, try and manage it. Full disclosure, I'm not great at it because I have some stressy episodes for sure. I wouldn't be saying that I'm perfect at all, but I guess, you know, there are things that you can do.
What do you do?
Well, I often go for a run if I can.
Okay.
Yeah, which it does chill me out. I enjoy it. It's kind of a little bit of time on my own to think about things and process stuff. I just generally feel, like, happier when I'm running, not when I'm, like, I don't know, it's weird. You're kind of tired.
Yeah.
It's not, but it's just a bit of freedom, I think.
But then there was, so there's one day when I ran here and we had a chat because you were saying that your acupuncturist said, told you not to run.
Yeah, I still run.
Yeah, because of cortisone.
She said it's something about like your body feels like it's being chased by a lion, so it goes into like.
Yeah.
But I mean, running is the only exercise I do, and I think doing exercise is more important than not doing exercise.
That's it. It freaked me out a bit. I was like, wait, should I stop running?
Yeah, look, you can do what you want, but for me, like, doing exercise is important.
Yeah, I think it is. I think a little bit of what helps you is good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do a marathon.
No.
No.
Yeah, I mean, damn, but if you really, do a marathon, do
really
do a
up
marathon.
For it.
Yeah, I know.
Really up
for it. I run 2 miles. 2 miles is my limit.
I am actually signed up to do a half marathon in March.
You're a dick.
Well, you know, I'm just like, I'm almost kind of booking things in to like, mm-hmm. Kind of bluff myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm not going to be pregnant then, so I'll book this half marathon. And I'll try and buy tickets to Glastonbury.
Because you used to run when you were a kid, didn't you?
Yeah,
you
like it's been the only, to be honest, it's the only exercise I enjoy doing. And it's the only one I've ever been particularly good at. So yeah. I just do that.
Because
I like doing
what
I'm good at. I hate doing things I'm not good at.
No.
Fuck that.
Yeah, it made my quest to become a virtuoso violinist very difficult.
Yes, I mean, many of my quests have been thwarted by me not being good at them. So that's running. And I suppose the other thing I try to do is I do use the Mindspace app. I know that's what everyone says,
yeah,
but it is good.
Yeah, it's good.
And what else do I do to relax? I don't know. And this sounds quite funny. There are certain podcasts that I found quite relaxing.
Yeah. Funny ones.
Funny ones. Also, there's one called, which is the one I was just talking about, the cognitive behavioural therapy one called Blind Boy, which is an Irish kind of, he's like a performance artist, but there's something about his voice and the way he talks about things that really chills me out.
He's got a great accent, but he's got an accent from the kind of region where you
Yeah, he's
grew
from
up
Limerick and I'm from Cork. So yeah. Even though I don't sound like it, I lost my accent when I moved back to the UK. But yeah, I find his, and I would think that's probably quite unique to me. I'm sure loads of people might seek him out and be like, what the bejesus is this? But for me, it relaxes me. So that's my kind of, that's one of the things that works for me, I suppose.
Yeah.
How about you, Emma?
I've been going for acupuncture.
Oh, of course.
And so I used to have, ever since I kind of started doing IVF, I've had this thing where it's felt like there's this great big pressure on my chest. Mm. And sometimes it'll be there for like weeks and it'll get worse at times, but it won't go away. And I've like laid in bed before and been like, I can't actually breathe. Mm. And it's not like a panic attack because it's not like sudden and I can manage it. It's fine, but it's not very comfortable.
No.
And ever since I started acupuncture, it's just gone.
Wow.
It's bizarre. Like, I just haven't, you know, I've had, like, incidents of it, but very, very short periods, like 10-minute periods of it, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
But I haven't had it this constant thing, and I feel like I'm a much more chilled out, like, calmer person.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, with acupuncture, they say everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's great, it's a miracle. I don't know. I mean, this month it certainly didn't help me ovulate, but potentially could it have helped my anxiety? I think it genuinely has, and I don't know whether that's a placebo effect or what, but I just feel so much more chilled.
Well, if it works, don't, you know, why question it? And then there's got to be a reason that so many people swear by it.
Yeah,
I'm definitely thinking about it for January. I think
it's very expensive
and that's why I'm gonna save it for January.
But yeah, I mean, that's really helped me, and you know, that's why this month I felt quite good about potentially this round, because I just felt so much more chilled. What else do I do? Like, yeah, I knit. It's you know, do you know what I do actually? Talking about knitting, when I knit, it's because I'm in front of the TV, and I sit in front of the TV because I give myself like 2 or 3 evenings a week where I can just sit in front of the telly. And I know it's, you know, it's a bit lame to just say I sit in front of the telly, but it makes me feel so much calmer. Like, just an evening not doing anything, without anything to do.
I don't think there's anything wrong with sitting in front of the telly. Yeah. There's some good quality content out there, Emma. Oh my God. I think you are well within your rights to watch as much telly as you like.
Did anyone watch Bodyguard?
Oh my God, it was so good.
So good, and I've just started Killing Eve.
Killing Eve is great.
Oh my God.
See what I mean? This isn't a waste of time.
No.
Expanding the mind.
We should do a podcast where we just talk about TV.
Telly. What have we been watching this week? Great British Bake Off, another favourite of mine.
Yeah. But I do think when you're doing IVF or if you're kind of struggling with your fertility, you just need to give yourself some time. I don't want to use self-care as a term because I just think it's just time to chill and just like slow down.
I think slowing down is the key.
Yeah.
I mean, God, when you don't slow down, you slam your hand in the front door and break your engagement ring. Still annoyed by this. I've still got an empty.
Oh, have you sent it off to FedEx?
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Yeah. I think taking time out for yourself, whatever it is that you enjoy, and just recognizing it as early as you can when you feel yourself getting whipped up into a bit of a tiz, which happens to me so often, and I just have to be like, okay, so if I'm at work, I will feel it happening, and I'll go for a walk around the park. And it helps. And I just walk around, look at the trees, and this sounds really hippie and lame, but I just look at the trees for a bit and they chill me out, man. Trees are absolute legends. I love them.
I think there is something in seeing a green space that calms you down. And it's annoying because I work in the city and there are no green spaces there. But just being outdoors, you know, when I was in Clomid, for some reason, it just drove my anxiety levels up to like peak level.
Oh, I've heard it's awful.
And I found myself getting so angry at my colleagues. And I just had to like just go out. I think one of my colleagues made a joke about I'd said something about Theresa May. Or like, I can't remember what it was. I'd made a joke about something being her baby. And he looked at me and was appalled and was like, you know, she doesn't have a child, right? And I was like, I'm going to hit you in the face.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, you've got no idea what you're
messing with. Yeah, exactly. So I just took myself out and like went for walks and that really helped. Yeah. I mean, calmed me down a bit, but...
Yeah, I think taking five when you feel it coming is good.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what the answer is?
I just think we, at our stage in lives, going through what we're going through, really need to look after ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I think my friend Sophie said in episode 4 that there'd been a study that said the level of stress you experience is like the level of stress people who have cancer experience.
Mm.
And I've never had cancer, so I wouldn't know about that. But what I do know is that it's a high stress experience.
Yes.
So we just need to be kind to ourselves.
100%.
So what did Dr. Tim say?
Well, let's find out. So a lot of what you hear when you are trying to conceive is people telling you to relax.
It's a very helpful thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes me feel very unrelaxed. So I guess the question is, how damaging is stress on fertility?
So there's been a lot written about stress and fertility, and one major issue is there's a lack of very good quality research studies in this area. Understandably, couples who are suffering with problems getting pregnant are going to feel stress from that anyway. And so telling someone to have less stress is not very helpful because this probably will make them feel even more stress. In terms of how stress can affect fertility, probably it does not affect fertility as much as people may think it does. Because, for instance, if the woman is ovulating, so if she's got regular menstrual cycles, and say the guy has got fairly normal sperm, then it's hard to see how different levels of stress could actually affect the chance of an embryo implanting into the woman's uterus. Stress could, of course, affect the relationship and could affect the frequency of intercourse. So then, if that's the case, of course, stress could be affecting fertility. But if the couple are having intercourse and the woman's got regular cycles, as I just said, then there's not really going to be a link there at all. And I think stress probably affects more how people cope with infertility and how they cope with perhaps failed treatment cycles or going through treatment. If a couple gets so stressed by going through a treatment cycle that they decide they couldn't cope with another treatment cycle, then that could affect their chances of having a baby. But obviously the mechanism there is different than in some way stress affecting the actual body. So we always try and help people reduce stress levels during treatment, and that's by making treatment as easy and as accessible as possible. And also, you know, that might be having appointments that are convenient for them, or by having satellite clinics that are close to their home. We try and cut down the number of appointments if we can to reduce interference with their, you know, with their home and work life. Units, IVF units will always have counsellors working with them. That, again, some people will find that helpful. Some people use acupuncture or reflexology or what have you to, if they feel that reduces stress. But again, it's hard for us to say that that will increase the chances of a treatment cycle resulting in a baby. But if it helps them cope with treatment and perhaps with a complication or with a negative test, then that's a very, very important outcome as well.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the other things you hear people say is that, you know, it'll happen when you stop thinking about it, or it'll happen when you stop trying. I guess that's not particularly true or helpful either.
No, exactly. It's not helpful. And there's, you often hear the same people saying, oh, well, we won't spend the money on whatever else, on something else. We're going to spend the money on a holiday because friends have said that's when it will, you know, it will happen. Now, again, if changes are being made that mean a couple, perhaps with unexplained infertility, who but maybe haven't been having intercourse very much because they're tired of trying or the stresses and strains of it, are having more intercourse, then yes, that could affect or could increase the chance of having a baby. But I think there's no truth in just saying, stop thinking about it or go on a holiday and that will result in success. That's just not how it works, and it isn't helpful to say that.
Right. I was also thinking about the workplace, and, you know, say if you have a presentation or if you're going on stage and you have a rush of adrenaline, is that going to have an effect?
I don't think it will do. And again, I think it's really important that as fertility specialists, I think that these sort of podcasts are really helpful to try and debunk some myths, because I think these sorts of things are out there and people, you know, if they read them, they might believe them. And then that just adds more stress and worry and concern for themselves. We have to think that humans and fertility in general, things work okay, and studies have looked at the effects of stress in war zones, for instance, in terms of how being in war zones affect fertility, and fertility is not really negatively affected. And again, people in those sorts of areas are obviously having all sorts of adrenaline or stress or all sorts of different hormones and things going on. So I would try and be as reassuring as possible for people that living their normal working life, and if that involves giving presentations and having an adrenaline rush or doing exercise, whatever it is, it's not going to be negatively affecting their chances of conception or affecting the chance of having a miscarriage, etc. The body is set up in a way that these sorts of things aren't going to make a difference to their fertility.
Yeah, I suppose people don't really know how much to alter their lives. So it's good to talk about the actual science behind it.
As much as possible, I agree. Because nothing people, I see letters from doctors who've written things along the same lines. You think, well, you know, why are they saying that? I think people sometimes say these things in terms of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, because they feel they're trying to be helpful by offering some advice. But if the advice really is not based on either science or logic, then it's the opposite of being helpful. It's actually just creating stress, creating problems. It's making people not do things that perhaps they should be doing for their work and their happy working environment or home environment, and it's not helpful. So anything we can do to bust these myths, then the better.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thank you for that chat, Professor Tim. That was really helpful, as always.
Okay, team, well, I seem to have lost Gabby. I think she's gone off to do some skydiving or something adrenaline-fueled. But yeah, that's the end of the show. So we'll see you next week. Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.